Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know if I'm on. This music's not playing. Let me try some other music. This is absurd. Yeah, okay. Now let me try my music again. Everybody, recruiting animal here. I just got to tell you, there's no end to problems, technical problems with this show. Here's a personal problem with the staff. Jerry calls me just before the show, says I'm going to be late. Then I see my internet's out. I have to dismantle my modem and put it back together and pray that it's going to work. Anyway, now I'm here. I haven't made an announcement that the show's on now on Twitter, so... Anyway, I'm all screwed up. I'm pissed off. I know you don't want to hear about it, so I'm going to start anyway. I want to talk. I'm going to talk about negotiations. That's what I'm going to do. You know, I read a bunch of articles yesterday, and I'm mad. I'm mad about the articles. I'm mad about the show. Anyway, these articles, here's what they seem to be saying. They seem to be saying that the candidate has to be treated like a child. The candidate, I don't care what their title is, the candidate is an infant. For instance, if the candidate asks you how much the job is paying, here's what you have to say. You have to say, sir, I cannot tell you that, and here's why. Let's say you're earning $80,000 now, and I tell you that the job pays up to $120,000. You're at 80, the job pays 120. After all the interviews, we offer you $105,000. That's a $15,000 raise. You've done very well. But what are you going to be thinking? Hey, how come I'm not getting $120,000? The candidate always thinks she deserves the top end of the range. Yeah, you're going to be thinking, where's the rest of my money so I can't talk to you about that for your own good? I can't tell you what the job is paying because you can't handle the truth. Lots of articles tell you that, okay? But when the candidate says, I'm not going to tell you what I'm earning, well, it's a completely different story. Then you've got to say, look, buddy, I got a manager, and if I bring you in for an interview and we make you an offer and it turns out that you're already earning more than we want to pay, well, my head is going to be on the chopping block. That's not good for me. And if he still won't tell you, you say, look, pal, look, I want you to get this straight. You tell me your current salary or it's a no-go. You're out the window. But you know what? There's a guy named Ask the Headhunter. He's very popular. And he tells candidates, don't worry. They're never going to get rid of you. It's never going to happen that if you don't tell them what you're earning now, that they refuse to move you ahead. He says, candidate, you want the offer to be based on your value, not on your current salary. And if you hold to your guns and refuse to let the recruiter get the upper hand in negotiations, she's not going to turn you away, not if you've got the qualifications. It's never going to happen. So I don't know the truth. If you want to tell us your own experience, call in. To what show is this, Jerry? Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal.
Thank you, Jerry.
You are more than welcome, Animal. More than welcome.
I feel bad that I started off the show by complaining about all my problems. First, my problems with you, and then my problems with internet. Anyway, let's just get going. Let me see. Before we bring in the guest, I know you've had a big problem with LinkedIn. You've got a daughter who's still a girl. Is she under 10 years of age?
Yes, and as far as I know, she will always be a girl.
Okay. So he's got
she's still caught up in all
her
that.
Daughter, but she's got an email. She's got email. She's got an email account.
Never
Jerry goes
uses
on
it.
LinkedIn. Jerry goes on LinkedIn and LinkedIn is offering him her email address and says link to little Miss Albright, right?
Yes, and also asking for me to invite her to join LinkedIn. And so I'm wondering, how did LinkedIn get her email address? What are they doing in my system? I have never authorized them to look through my emails or my contacts ever. Not accidentally, not on purpose. Ever.
Well, Stacey Zappar, Donovan Zappar, who's an expert, I got to tell you, and I respect her. She
yes.
says it's quite possible that you did it without realizing it, okay? And so we're
that
gonna
is not
find
possible.
Out,
technically, it's possible.
Examine, you have to let her examine your account to see what the truth is. Because I don't want you saying she's wrong when she's really right, okay?
So
my
I need
friend.
A professional to tell me if I've made a mistake or not when I know that I have not? I don't think so.
I'm saying,
and I trust her. I believe that she would be able to do it. But I'm thinking, why should a regular common man, and I am a common man, much to a lot of people think that I'm
you
in some other
problem. You are a common
problem.
Man. I'll swear by it.
I am.
On. No, you're starting
I'm as
to
common
me,
as
okay?
you can get.
You're just so common, you're starting to bore me with your common man conversation. Okay, Jeffrey Taylor, the guest for today. Come on down. Are you here?
I am here.
Oh, don't delay. Tell me, yeah, I'm here. Show me you got some pep. I read your Twitter, your blog. You say, I want people with enthusiasm. You got to show some enthusiasm. What?
So let me start off with thanking you for your tweets this morning. I enjoyed especially the ones where you pointed out the hole in my golfing game and my website game. Enjoyed that greatly.
Yeah, good. Okay, you got more RTs this morning from me than you've ever got in your tweeting career. But I notice you like to give out advice about social media. We'll quiz you about that. But right now, your name on Twitter is at Jeff, J-E-F-F underscore recruiting. Am I right? Delay. I want to see your enthusiasm. If I say, am I right? You say, Animal, yes, you are. Like you're in the Marines. Keep my audience awake. That's all I'm asking you. Did you bring a song?
No song today, man.
Okay, look, I have a song, and everybody knows it. It's the anniversary, the 60th anniversary this year of Rock Around the Clock. Actually, it was written in 1952, but it made history in 1955. It introduced rock and roll to the masses. But it was written by a guy who was born in 1893, that long ago. Do you know the song Rock Around the Clock?
I do. Bill, I can't
okay,
sing it
we're
for
gonna
you,
sing the beginning. We're going to sing the beginning together. And then the show's going to go on the road, okay? 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock. Come on,
yeah.
Jeff!
4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, rock.
7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, rock.
Nine
we're
o'clock,
going to rock. Jeff, come on,
rock
right the clock tonight. Come on, your turn. You know, everybody, this is a guy, just so you know, he wants candidates who are enthusiastic. I can't get him to sing one of the most popular songs in history, okay? He barely could get it out of him. That is bad. What do you do, Jeff? I'm going to introduce you, just so the show doesn't bog down more than it's already bogged down, okay? You are some kind of executive in a recruitment process supplementation firm, right? You put contract recruiters on other people's recruiting teams for an hourly rate. Is that right? Do I have it summarized fairly well?
That's fairly well. Sometimes it's on-site. More often than not, it's off-site. But, yes, absolutely right.
Okay. And you you were a recruiter before, a hands-on recruiter. Then you started training the teams of recruiters in your own company. And now you're devoted to expanding the business on a national basis. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
How many people did you recruit from Twitter last year? This is the part of the show where we ask that question.
Personally or my teams?
How many people on your team?
We've got about 20 to 25, depending on how we slice
it. Let's say 20. How many did they recruit from Twitter last year? Do you know?
Oh, I would say probably around 40.
Really? 20 people recruited 40 people? Good candidates?
From Twitter. Absolutely.
Okay, and how many from Facebook?
None?
Okay, no, we're just I'm kind of a real life survey. So you actually got 40 people from Twitter. Were any of them placed?
I would say a good majority of those that were recruited from Twitter were placed. I mean, we use Twitter, you know, quite a bit on our team. So I'm thinking around 40 of those that we did were placed at our client sites.
And, you recruited 100% of them? Is that what you're saying? You just told me you recruited 40 off Twitter. Now I asked how many you placed. You said 40. Does that mean every single candidate you recruited off of Twitter got placed? Really? And what kind of people are those generally, or are they all
goodness,
over the board?
That is a bold claim. Bold claim.
Yeah. What kind of people were they?
They range largely those that we placed were inside sales staff for one of our major clients.
Oh, okay. So they weren't IT contractors or anything like that?
No, they weren't.
Okay. Uh-huh. So let me ask you now. I know we're going to talk about it later, but what's Twitter good for? Is it good for any kind of candidate or only certain kinds of candidates?
I think Twitter is very good at building a brand, and it depends on what market you're in.
No. We're talking about recruiting. We're talking about recruiting.
You.
Listen to me. I said, what kind of candidates can you recruit on Twitter? Not how you can market your employment brand on Twitter. Listen to me when I'm asking a question, okay?
So here's the thing. It's not your employment brand. It's the brand that you're looking to recruit for. I think technical candidates are good. I think sales candidates for certain levels are good, and I think executive level are good.
Okay, hold on. So you didn't recruit any technical people, but you believe it's good for technical people. What are you basing that on?
Well, I didn't say my teams don't recruit for technical people. We just haven't utilized it largely for...
You said 40 people. I said, what kind of people? Hey, everybody, I'm sorry if we're putting you to sleep, but no other show will ask a guest to clarify. They'll just say, great, great, and then they'll go on to the next question, and they'll say his answer to that is great, too.
Way to drill down, Animal. Way to dig deep.
Yeah, I said, how many people? He said 40. I said, what kind? Inside salespeople. He said, what kind of what kind of people is Twitter good for? Oh,
well,
I
we all
people.
Just heard it, okay?
Yeah,
we know what
okay.
Saying.
Well, how do you know that? I mean, you've only had experience recruiting inside salespeople. How do you know it's good for IT people as well?
Well, I mean, we use it for a variety of things, but we have not successfully used it for IT people.
Okay, but why did you just say, you're just too enthusiastic, excited to be on the show. You say, it's good for everybody. But why did you say it's good for IT people? You don't really know that. Is that right?
I haven't personally experienced it, but I know a number of recruiters that do use it very heavily for IT and very successfully.
In different companies?
So.
Not in your company, right?
Correct.
Okay, so there's other recruiters that you network with online or someplace, and they said, hey, Jeff, man, I am getting so many good IT contractors from Twitter, you wouldn't believe it. Is that what happened?
Yes, it is. And it's a good tool if you use it to build your brand right with those people.
Okay, well, you know, we're talking – I don't want to – like Jerry's a contract recruiter. He for IT people. He's not a contract. He places IT contractors. He always claims that, you know, he's not going to find them on Twitter, but he's very flexible. He'll do it if you tell him how to get IT people. And he doesn't want to build his brand strategically or the brands of his clients. He wants to recruit people for a specific job here and now. Can you tell him how to do that on Twitter? I'm sorry,
please.
Everybody.
You
I'm
here to learn.
Know the answer to this question.
I got my notepad out.
Well, Twitter's not going to be a
go
silver
ahead,
bullet
Jeff.
That – Yeah, Twitter's not going to be a silver bullet that you just go ahead and throw your thing out there and hope that it works. You've got to spend a little bit of time building up your followers in that area. And once you've got that built up, then you can start marketing out the specific positions that you're doing for and be able to use that as a tool to reach out to people. But if you're going to say, hey,
question. Okay, Matt, we're boring the guys already. You didn't have an answer for my question, so I'll ask you. For those inside salespeople, did you build a following of inside salespeople over a year or something like that before you actually used Twitter to recruit them? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it's not something that is going to work right away. We've built it over a period of time.
So you handle a lot. You know that you specialize in inside salespeople, and so you guys have created a Twitter account that should attract them. Is that what you're telling me?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Can we take a look at this Twitter account? Can we have the name of it, please?
What's that?
What is that Twitter account? I just want to check it out.
Yeah, the one you're using.
The one with this sales people.
It's a Skywalk Group Twitter account is what we've used.
It's called Skywalk Account?
Skywalk Group.
Okay. Jeff, I've got a feeling you're not comfortable with me.
No.
Is there a problem? Are you happy? Are you
no,
having a good
I'm
time?
Good. I'm good.
Okay. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, everybody, but I have to ask this question, too, because this guy's a trainer and
okay,
a
just,
leader.
Yeah, just
I'm
for clarity here, I'm searching for at Skywalk Group. And I'm seeing no recent tweets. I don't see anything. Am I spelling it wrong, incorrectly?
Skywalk Group. I think you're good. I don't personally manage that account, so I'd have to pull it up to be honest.
Well,
okay,
I
we'll
would
get
think
it
he would know the name
Jerry.
Of this.
Jerry,
I mean, hold on now. Wouldn't he know
he
the name of the group?
Gold mine.
He wouldn't know the name of the Twitter user account we're talking about.
He doesn't know.
Yeah, I found it.
Come on, let
I
him
found
off
it.
The hook.
I finally
let
came
him
up.
Off the hook. Okay. Now, Jeff, just what last final thing about social recruiting. How come you're not using Facebook for social recruiting?
You know, cause I think for the most part, it's very narrow in who it reaches, and it doesn't do a good job of pulling it in. I mean, if you're looking to recruit for – and you have to build a huge following in order to get it. So fundamentally, it's just kind of a waste of time in my opinion.
Okay, Jeremy Worthington wants to talk to you. I had a chance, Jeremy, you know, I'm working on this show. This is my work, and I'm focusing on the candidate. I can't monitor the Twitter that well, but you're open now. Everybody's open. First, Jeremy Worthington, do you want to say something to my guest? Boy Wonder, are you here? You're complaining on Twitter. Are you here? It's your big chance.
The name Jeremy
okay,
Worthington just moved one notch down in my list.
Yeah, okay.
He's a
does
great guy, but he blew it right there.
Does anybody else
want
to talk to?
If he's a trainer, this is Rebecca here.
Hi, Rebecca. Rebecca
hi,
Sargent, she's a trainer too. Rebecca Sargent is on Twitter. Go ahead.
So what Rebecca. Are you training? What are you training your group? If you're not using Facebook and you're not using Twitter, what are you training them on?
He's using Twitter, he just said.
We do use Trainer, but frankly, the main thing that we focus on training on is how to direct recruit, how you know our teams can find the candidates to reach out to and pick up the phone and call them up directly and say, hey, I've got an opportunity.
So how do you direct recruit?
We're going to get to that, Twitter. We're going to get to that, Rebecca. You're jumping the gun.
Okay.
But you know what? If you're still on the show 10 minutes from now and I haven't gotten to that, remind me, okay? Because I've got a list of questions. But I just don't feel like Jeff is happy. You're feeling nervous. Come on. Here's how you get over that nervousness. That's why I do it at the beginning of the show. We're going to sing.
You kind of cornered him early, though, Animal. I mean,
4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Animal.
9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
I'm good.
Rock, we're going to rock. Come on, Jeff, around the clock tonight. Look, Jeffrey, I had to get you. Once you said, I thought you were going to say zero people on Twitter, and then we just move on. But you said 40. I've never heard anything like that before. We had to dig in. We had to drill down. We're real reporters on this show. We're not jerks. Like, here's what you say. You say on your blog, show me a recruiter who is a master of monster, and I will show you someone who is not a recruiter. What does that mean exactly?
Animal, there's 40 minutes left in this show. What he's talking about here, or what I think he's going to talk about, I think the number one complaint that people like Rebecca and Jerry and I have about these new school recruiters. So can we knock off the BS and just get to the point?
He's not a new school recruiter. I guarantee
he's
it.
He's old school,
I just wanted,
isn't he?
That's what I'm trying to say, Animal. If he's teaching people to actually pick up the phone, that's a skill set that nobody seems to have anymore. So let's get to it.
Okay, the two people asking for stuff. Go ahead, answer the question there if you want to, Jeff.
Yeah, fundamentally, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that if you call the monsters career builders, you're not going to find the best people, and you're spending your time passively reaching out to those folks, hoping to God you get somebody. So people who are experts at that really are not going to be the kind of people that you need and want on your
recruiting team. Look, everybody, just let me summarize. He says everybody knows the good guys don't post their resumes on these job boards. You're already, when you go there, you know you're dealing with low to mid-level candidates. And then in capital letters, this is your intro, okay, Jeff, and for Mike A. Stringer and Rebecca, for capital letters, he says, for the love of God, people, pick up the phone. Now, you have to say, why did you say that, and how do you do it, and you're going to make my audience happy.
You know, why is because if you don't, you're just fishing. You're just hoping to God that somebody gets back to you. But if you pick up the phone and you call somebody up and you say, hey, you know, I've got a client of mine that is looking for this and want to see if you know anybody or you yourself might be interested in this, then you get to open up a dialogue. And then, you know, you get to say, who do you know? And, you know, you have a higher chance of getting somebody to say, oh, you know, I know somebody that can do this. Then, if you're trying to email back and forth, because you get a much better hit rate when you call them up, and you get a much better hit rate on your referrals when you get to ask them personally as opposed to emailing it to them.
So you're saying to pick up the phone and call people who you find a monster, or to be a little bit more ingenious and dig on the phone to find good candidates like we used to?
No, I wouldn't go on monster to try to find who to call. I would, frankly, the one of the best ways to do it, in my opinion, is you use a combination of LinkedIn and a service like a Zoom Info that you can find their direct contact information directly.
Thank you for plugging one of my customers. But so, I mean, I haven't touched Monster in 5 years. So when you talk about Monster, you're talking about these lazy new school recruiters that are just going to go on Monster all day and look for keywords and send emails.
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't call them recruiters. I'd call them admins. You know, I can find a college intern to do this just as well.
Rebecca,
yeah.
Do you want to say something? Do you have something you want to say before I move on?
No, we're good.
Okay, we'll come back. So the next topic we actually had, Jeff sent me a whole list of things of how you, and this is something Rebecca and Mike are going to be interested in, how you hire good recruiters. How do you figure out who's going to be a good recruiter? And Jeff, you say HR people normally make bad recruiters. How come? And have you had any experience to prove that to us and you?
Yeah,
HR people stink as recruiters.
Early in my career, you know, I hired a number of people who were HR folks, and they just didn't work. And typically, it's because they tend to be people pleasers. They tend to be very process oriented, and sometimes struggle with the creative side of the business of recruiting. Certainly. You know, anybody who's been in recruiting long enough knows that to do it well, you have to be able to sell. You know, even if you're not on the business development side, you have to be able to sell. And that's something that some to most of them, you know, really struggle with. And there's also the ability to know how to work close to the money. And that's not something that's naturally ingrained in those folks. And
what does
that
mean, work close to the money? What does that mean, work close to the money?
Well, if you're a recruiter that's working a blended desk, you have to know which one of the accounts that you're working on is really likely to close. You know, are you really going to be able to fill it? Which one's worth your time more than others? If you're working a desk that you're just filling, you have to know, you know, which candidates are going to be the type of candidates that are worth the time to spend on to try to fill the order.
And these HR people can't tell. They can't prioritize their orders. Is that what you're saying? Yes or no?
It's harder for them. Yes. It's harder for them.
Okay. Now, you say beware when you're hiring of too much experience. That's not a good sign. Experience or years served, is that what you mean, is not a good sign of ability?
It can be a danger sign. You really have to look at where that experience came from, but most of the time it can work against, especially if they come from a bigger firm that's historically known for not training well.
Okay. Now, you said just a minute ago that you have to be able to sell in recruiting and you don't have to be able to sell in business development. But I'm very interested. Can you give us an example of how you personally or someone you know has sold a position to a candidate or something like that? What do you mean when you say you have to sell?
Well, you have to be able to look at what's good in within the order and pull it out. You know, you might have a position in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, that you're trying to recruit somebody from Tampa, Florida for.
That's where you live, by the way. You live there, right?
Absolutely, yes. You know, so you have to be able to say, okay, you know, yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. There's absolutely no cultural diversity. You can't find a good restaurant for miles. You know, what do I have? You know, I've got great schools. I've got no commute. I've got housing that is dirt cheap, and I've got a company that does X, Y, and Z extremely well. So you have to know how to package that together into when you're talking to somebody about why it can make sense for them to even consider this conversation further. And
can you remember any actual conversation, a real life conversation, so you could just tell us how you would actually say those things? You call up and say, hey, I know you're living in Chicago. But have you ever thought of living in a nice, quiet place with cheap housing, good schools, no commute, with a good company making a good product? Is that how you open up? Is that
First of all, you got to talk about the opportunity with the company, and then once you get them hooked into that, they'll want to know where it is, and then you have to go down that path. It's in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, but let me tell you, it's got within 40 minutes of this direction and this direction, you can be, in cultural diversity, in these type of markets. And then you would want to take a look at, compared to where you're at in Chicago, for what you pay in property taxes, you could probably have your year's worth of mortgage paid for a home three times as big here. The schools, your kids can walk to safely, your commute can be 10 minutes each way, yada, yada, yada. And then you start walking down the path.
Okay, Mike and Rebecca, what do you think of that? That's old school. What do you think? I want someone to comment on that.
I don't think it's
today. Already?
No, I was listening to some of what he said while I was working, but I don't know that in today's job market, the most important things to a candidate are how far the commute or you can walk to work. I mean, I think that the job market for top talent is pretty competitive right now, and you better be able to sell culture, the work, what the company's doing that they're not doing where they are right now, the interest of the technology. I don't think people necessarily care if they can walk to work, but that's just my opinion.
Rebecca?
I'm in agreement with Mike. Nobody cares if they can walk to work or not. They want to know what the latest project is and how they're going to make money.
But absolutely. But the point is you have to be able to sell what's important.
Okay, so selling for you is just making sure you mention the advantages that might be there in the opportunity. What about pushing? Do you push? How persuasive do you try to? How much pressure do you put in your sales? Or do you just really say, hey, look, it's a good. The guy says it's a good job. Where is it? And then you say, oh, in the middle of Iowa. But before you say no, I don't want to move. Let me tell you about all the advantages of living in Iowa, and then you just list those things. Is that selling, or does a person say, because I know you read Steve Finkel, and his big thing is rebuttal. So if they say, look, that's nice, but I don't want to live out there, and do you actually come back and argue with the person?
Argue, no, but I think you can have a conversation with them and say, what's causing you concern? And then if they have, things that, you can have a further discussion about, that's great. If they have a valid concern that, isn't going to work, you say, hey, I get it. It's not for everybody. Who do you know?
And who do you know? What's your rate of getting referrals?
I would say, it's generally not high, but it's a heck of a lot better than it would be if you were on the on an email asking people, who do you know?
So as a trainer, what would you say to someone when they said to you, so how do I increase my rate of referrals?
Well, first of all, I'd say ask and then say, hey, let me do this. Let me forward you my information, my contact information. And, as you're thinking about it, and I'll shoot you over the information about the job also. And as you're thinking about it, I'd love for you to forward anybody or have anybody reach out to me that's good. And then, take it from there.
Our styles are a little bit different. So I actually, even though I've been recruiting for like 23 years or whatever it's been, I today tend to send more emails because I tend to do my sourcing really early in the morning or really late at night. And, I have a line in my email that's something to the effect of, hey, listen, if this isn't the right opportunity for you, you're not currently looking, I'd appreciate you forwarding my message to anyone you know who might be interested, qualified. And I actually get quite a few referrals that way. I get quite a few emails that say, hey, John Smith said I should reach out to you. So I was just curious if you had thoughts on that and how you help people increase their number of referrals.
You know, I think that style is good. I think that, you know, the follow-up phone call is even better. You know, I think that one thing, if you, you know, in the technical world, people are a little more open to, you know, sharing information, especially for people that they, you know, are very good. Not to say in other areas are not, but I think that, you know, the main thing about referrals is you just have to ask and then provide people the information that they can forward, and don't be afraid to ask of, you know, hey, would you mind if I reach out to anybody?
Okay, what you also do, though, once you talk to somebody, you ask them if you can put them on your mailing list. Is that right? So that they become warm, you know, you build a relationship with them over time. And then you won't hit the, you won't get something this time, but you try to maintain a relationship via email so they'll know who you are and feel a little better about you and then maybe be more inclined to refer or pass on the job information. That's something you do, right? And that you advise your
Seriously, Animal, I haven't been here in 2 months, and I'm here 10 minutes, and we're going to start talking about mailing lists.
I know that's kryptonite to you, Mike, but it's not kryptonite to me. And I read it on this Jeffrey's blog. Jeffrey, do you believe in keeping a mailing list that you ask people to volunteer for? You don't just email blast them, okay? What's the effect of that?
When you have them on the phone, say, hey, you know, I would you mind if I put you on my mailing list for, you know, people that do similar work that you do? And whenever I get, you know, a piece of business that's in that line, I'll shoot it off to you. And if you know of anybody, shoot them off to me. And I would say that whenever we do that, we always get at least 2 to 3 people that, you know, are referred to us from a blast like that.
Yeah, Mike just said that he sends emails, right, and asks people in them for referrals, but when you do it, it's no good, okay? Just pay attention, people, okay?
No, Animal, you know what? I don't spam out every time I get a job opening. If I see somebody who I think is a good fit, I reach out to them directly for that particular opening, and I don't email them again unless I see or LinkedIn message them or whatever. Unless I see something that, again, I think is a good fit and they invite me to do so. If somebody says to me, you know what, I started at this job 3 months ago, I'm good for now, I'm not emailing them, you know, once a month and saying, hey, here are my opening, my current openings. You know, again, to me, that's spam.
Okay, okay.
Too many people within your circle do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
thank you, Mike. I'm glad to hear you. I'm glad to hear from you again. Rebecca, did you have something to say, or anybody else? Lots of people on the line. Anybody wants to talk, don't be polite. Just speak up.
Can I just say hi to Mike? Mike,
go
it's
ahead.
Jerry in Indiana.
Jerry, hey, Mike,
Indiana.
It's Casey.
Hey, Casey's here.
Yeah, what's up,
guys? Hey, Rayanne's here, too.
Really?
Oh, really? Rayanne, welcome back.
Wow.
It's a great day.
Do
you want to challenge Jeff on anything? I get a feeling he's a little nervous. If you want to ask him to sing with you, he might be more inclined than with me.
Absolutely not. I think he's doing a great job. Hi, Mike.
Rayanne. Okay. But you hear everybody. He says it's good to hire poor losers to be on your recruiting team, people who have to win, and, you know, a former athlete who really gets, you know, wants to compete and doesn't like it when, you know, he loses. Isn't that a jerk, the definition of a jerk? Jeff, do you have any people you're thinking of when you wrote that? Poor losers.
That's harsh.
How do you tell if they're poor losers?
Well,
you say you don't get this job and then see how they react? You know, if they punch you, hey, you're hired. Sorry, buddy, I'm not going to hire you. Whop! And let me change you. I changed my mind. You're just the guy I want. Is that what it is? Like, how do you determine if someone's a poor loser?
I think just in the course of the conversation, talk to them about what they've done and how they did it and where they fell short. And, you know, when you find out where they fell short, you know, dig into how they responded to that. And if you
no,
get people
I want
that are very...
hear a real story. You know what? You wrote this down. You must have somebody you thought of. I asked this guy this. I want to, you know, give him a false name and tell us the story. Change any details that you have to. I beg people, Jeff, tell me a story. I don't want a general theory. I want a story.
Fair enough.
This is a poor loser I hired, and this is how it worked out well. That's why I'm advising it to you. I got this football guy, a guy who couldn't make it through university, so, you know, he had to give up his football career.
Hey, Jeff, just to help you out. Right. Jeff, just to help you out, I know I'm talking to a loser recruiter if he says he's been a guest on the Animal Show, so take it from there.
Here's a great example of somebody. I was interviewing this lady who was a recent grad from UC Berkeley. She was a very competitive swimmer. And, I was talking to her about, her frustrations because, she left and wanted to try out for the Olympics and just barely made it. So I talked about, what did you do after that? And, she was a very poor loser because she got very frustrated and, dove back in to try to get a different coach and extra practices and, to be able to try to make the next Olympic team. And, through digging into that process, really learned, how much she didn't like to lose. And not only did she not like to lose, but what she did when she lost and, how she put a plan to recover and all that. And that's what you want to learn when you hire somebody that, is a poor loser. They don't like to lose, and they're going to do something to make sure they never have that happen again.
So you say, when did things go wrong for you? And, you hope they tell you an honest story, which they probably won't. And then you say, well, how did you recover from it, or what did you do immediately after? Is that essentially it?
Fundamentally, yes.
Yeah, okay. You're not going to get an honest answer to those questions, I don't think. They're going to tell you something nice about themselves. Well, I just decided I had to dig in, okay, and make 10,000 phone calls, because that's what you want them to do. You say you want somebody who can say, hi, who do you know, and repeat that 10,000 times a day. That's the sign of a good recruiter. Am I right?
Yes.
I agree with you.
It is.
Okay, I agree with you.
I have a question. Can I jump in here, Animal?
Go. Who is it?
It's Casey.
Casey Cooper. Casey, everybody's calling in who hasn't called in for ages. Go ahead, shoot.
I know. All right, so I have a question about the sort of poor loser thing. I mean, recruiting is kind of a losing game at the end of it. And typically I've worked with a lot of people like you're describing. They don't really handle rejection well, turn out more phone calls and stuff, but they're not in the right frame of mind to be selling or anything like that. Is your experience different?
Jeff, he's asking you, not me.
Are you saying that it's a losing game because more often than not, when you talk to people, they're not a fit?
You're going to get more rejections than you are going to get, hey, yeah.
Way more rejections than you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that, my experience is that when you find people that are poor losers, they're used to having things not go their way enough and to push through that in the end it makes them better.
I think his definition, Casey, of poor loser is not someone who pouts, which is what I think of as a poor loser, someone who smashes things and goes off into a corner and won't talk to anybody.
I'm not a poor loser. I mean, I can handle it. In fact,
Jerry,
I'm a good loser.
That a good recruiter has to be able to take a $50,000 punch in the stomach and just get back up in the game. That's what he said a long time ago. I remember that.
And recognize there's a big difference between poor loser and immaturity.
Yeah, I
think
they're different.
No.
Same thing.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
What's the difference? No, let's have them explain what the difference is.
Yeah, what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Well, a poor loser just doesn't like it and will think it through and try to figure out what they have to do better. An immature person is going to pout, is going to, go whine to everybody else in the office about, why it went wrong, and I'm sure it's not their fault why it went wrong. I think there's a big difference between those two.
I think you described the same thing.
I'm a poor loser. Okay, most important interview question, why did you leave that job, right?
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Is there anybody interested in that, want to hear that? His favorite interview question? Let's go with it. And people interrupt you if they don't want to hear. Okay, go ahead, Jeff. I noticed that your voice is raising. Lower your voice a little, because when I hear your voice sounding like Rebecca's and you're a man, I'm thinking you're getting nervous. You're not enjoying yourself. I want to know that you're having fun, okay?
I'm having a good time.
Okay, you're having a good time. I can't ever tell right now. At first I knew it was you. Now I can't tell if it's you or Rebecca. In my mind, that means something's wrong, okay? But go ahead. Why is that your favorite interview question?
Because it really tells what the person, what's important to them. It tells how they think. It tells whether, you know, when, what made them decide to leave. Is it?
Let's
is
hear
it
a real-life
that...
story. I'm begging. Just say, no, I don't have. I didn't prepare them like I was supposed to. I'm just going to explain this in general terms. Do you have a real-life story? When you ask somebody why did you leave that job, and they said they gave you a reason, do you remember any of them? Since it's your favorite question, I guess you've asked it a few times, right?
You know, here's a couple of great examples. You know, you'll get the, you know, why'd you leave that job? Oh, personal reasons. Tell me more about that. Why'd you have to, you know, what kind of personal reason came up that you had to leave your employment? Well, I had something I had to take care of. Okay, well, tell me more. And through the course of digging down into that, you know, I found that the poor guy had to go to jail for 6 months. You know, or there's the, you know, another example where, you
that
know,
what
made you
leave the recruiter? That does not mean, and that might be a sign he's going to be a good recruiter. You know, no conscience. Doesn't care if people don't like him.
But I'm saying that it's the most important interview question, because if you don't dig into that, you don't learn about the person that you're talking to.
Okay, well, okay. Does anybody else agree that's the most important interview question for them, too? Why'd you leave that job?
I do. I like it.
Why,
Jerry?
I
ask everybody.
Why?
Well, I want to know what makes them decide.
What do you get?
Excuse me?
What do you get out of it? Do you remember any reality?
Any reality? Yeah,
I believe
people are creatures of habit.
And if
you find out what's made them do something in the past, it's likely that that same set of circumstances will cause the same effect down the road.
Good answer.
Come on, dude.
If they left because their previous boss left the job, you know that if you bring them on board, if somebody leaves the job, you know, they're likely to consider leaving also. You know, they don't think independently.
That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true.
You
want to
find people that are bored, or they finished up a big project and they'd worked real hard at it and they were ready for a new challenge. So then if you ask them, where are you on your current project, and they say, I'm about ready to wrap it up, well, great.
Yeah, then you know.
People. I'm tired of giving away all my secrets here, I guess.
Yeah, okay. here's something I wanted. You told people. You said if somebody is a master of monster, they're not necessarily a good recruiter. But you had a very interesting job posting that you said Dice Monster, and Career Builder are actually better than LinkedIn.
I think that it can be, but I think LinkedIn is far better when used in conjunction with something else.
I'm going to quote from your blog. Hey, people, listen. He said, hey, people, I don't like it when anybody says that. I'm going to slap myself for saying that, okay? Dice is the best source for technology hires. I read that on your blog. Monster is great for manufacturing. In the retail, financial services, and insurance industry, Career Builder leads. LinkedIn doesn't have half the tech industry jobs that Dice has. LinkedIn only has about two-thirds as much manufacturing jobs as Monster. This is because the types of jobs in these industries don't necessarily attract the people who are going to be promoting their skills and resumes on LinkedIn. So, it's like, did you just copy that from somewhere else and put it on your blog without any real
Animal,
reference?
Can I comment on that?
Yeah.
You know what? As somebody who gets marketed to by recruiters all the time, if a recruiter ever said that to me, why the hell do I need you then? Why in the world would any third-party recruiter be on Monster, Dice, or Career Builder when a company can spend $500 for a membership and not pay you 20%? That's the real answer I want to
hear. Mike, are you assuming that the only value to one of those sites is the active candidate crowd?
Yes.
So
I never use those job boards. I never have access to them. You know what? I personally don't use those boards, and I've not had access to them in years. But if all this third-party recruiter, which, by the way, seems to be all these young third-party recruiters do, is going to go out to Dice or Career Builder and find me a candidate, well, what the hell do I have to pay you 20% for that for?
And what do the older recruiters do? They go to LinkedIn. What's the difference? There's absolutely
right.
no difference.
It's 6.5.
Glenn Cathy.
No, it's not, because I expect you, if I'm going to pay you 20%, I expect that you have a network of people that you know, or you're going to be able to pick up the phone and cold call into some companies. I mean, if I'm going to find a, if you're going to find me a candidate on LinkedIn or a CareerBuilder,
you're acting like 20% is some huge, giant T-bone steak, Mike. That's a low fee.
For $120,000 software engineer in Boston, 20% is
back to the, my question though was, you just because a recruiter would use one of those big job boards doesn't mean that there's no value beyond the candidates. I find it to be a tremendous resource if I'm looking for a particular software set to find a list of 500 companies that use that just by searching through resumes of people that, that have that in their background. So there's many other reasons to use one of those.
You're 100% right, but that's different than saying I'm going to go on the LinkedIn or I'm going to go on the CareerBuilder and find a candidate. And the fact of the matter is you and I know how to do that. I guarantee you 85% of young recruiters out there don't.
And that's fine with me, man.
Well, please.
Okay. Okay, Jeff, back to the guest. Jeffrey? Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff, what does your mom call you? Jeffy or Jeffrey or what does she call you?
Jeff,
okay. You're lying. Okay, look, Jeff, here's what it said on your LinkedIn profile, okay? It said, Jeff joined the branch at a challenging time. Rather than immediately implementing his work style to the branch, he took time to learn the team's strengths and weaknesses. Strengths and weaknesses. Somebody else said that about you. That was an endorsement for you. How did you go into that new company or new branch and analyze, find the strengths, identify the strengths and the weaknesses? How did you do that? Is that a fair question? Is that interesting?
You know, I would go in, I would sit down with them, and I would talk about how they want to work or how they like to work, and I would sit with them, you know, as they were working to help them work through some of the challenges. And through the scope of that, and generally takes 3 to 4 weeks, you know, kind of learn, you know, what areas people are good at. You know, are they good at, you know, calling people up and just talking to them? Are they great with the client side? You know, where do they struggle? And then from there,
and, you know,
begin
here's
to put
the kind
together
of, here's
a plan.
What I, here's what I want. Here's what I want. Animal, this is what I did. I sat down with this nice girl named Joanne and said, I'm going to listen to every call you make for the next 8 hours. And I listened. And, you know, after 3 or 4 calls, I knew she didn't know how to do this. And you give me an example. She didn't know how to do that, but she was pretty good at this. So then I said, look, we're going to improve you, and this is how we're going to do it. That is something my audience can listen to and walk away with and say, hey, Jeff taught me something on the Recruiting Animal Show today. I didn't waste an hour, okay? So can you do that for me right now? Why do I have to beg everybody to give a real-life example when this is your bread and butter? This is what people are praising you for on LinkedIn. It's one of your big skills, and I believe it's true. I think you're a leader. You're probably one of the top recruiters in Iowa, okay?
One of the best.
So share with us. Don't hide your
give
secrets.
Give it to us. Don't make us beg.
Well, no, I think,
oh my God.
First of all, you know,
what?
The particular example I was giving you when I was walking through is that, you know, I sat down with her, you know, and everybody in the branch and said, you know, let's talk about, you know, what you're doing. Let's talk about, you know, where you struggle. Let's talk about how you do these elements of your job. And, you know, she said, you know, I struggle in this and this. I said, great, you know, and so it's an open bullpen environment. So, you know, as, you know, the course of the next week goes by, you know, I want to listen to, you know, you make your calls to introduce yourself to people. I want to listen to you how you sell a job to a candidate. I want to listen when you're talking to a client and, you know, when, you know, I'll hop on the phone with a phone splitter so I can hear when you're taking a job order what you're getting. And then from that, begin to put together an assessment, sit down with the person, say, this is kind of what I saw. You know, you're
you know
very
what? You
good
can make
at...
Me beg. You can make me. There's only 10 minutes in the show left. You can make me beg for 10 minutes, okay? But I want a real-life example. Can you remember one where I listened to her? I got on the splitter, I listened to the call, and this is what she was doing wrong. Or this is what I found a number of people in the office were doing wrong, and this is how I told them to correct it. We don't want to talk in generalities. Don't feel bad that I'm reprimanding you about this, Jeff. Every single guest is like this, okay? Just try to think in terms of a real-life experience that would just, you know, tell us something specific how we can correct a mistake we might make.
Well, you know, in the person I was just walking through, one of the big things that she struggled with was when interviewing somebody, you know, jumping to the point of, you know, automatically saying, oh, God, you look good on paper, so I'm really just going to look for the reasons why, you know, they might be a fit so I can get the person over there and get a fill. Instead of, you know, really kind of digging a little bit deeper into, you know, what they did to make sure they're a fit. Because in her case, you had a number of fall-offs that were challenging her. You know, so the one thing that I learned when I really listened was that, you know, she didn't spend enough time really digging in. It would just focus on more of the,
can you remember
this,
something
this,
specific?
Right.
Like,
so can, I,
said,
can
okay.
I summarize that for you, Jeff?
Yes, please.
Many recruiters focus on how to get a send-out rather than how to make a placement here.
Fair point, yes.
Okay, but do you remember
anything? Would you agree, Jerry?
That probably went over your head, Animal.
Jerry, would you agree that's because bad managers have been focused in that area earlier in their careers?
Yeah, perhaps.
Yep.
Perhaps. You know, I mean, there's a balance between the two. I mean, you want to get the send out with an eye towards how are you going to make a placement here?
I mean, early in my career, I share this a lot. Early in my career, I worked for a company that used to count your phone calls. And you know what? If I got somebody's answer machine, I'd call back 10 times that day. So my name was at the top of the list, but it wasn't focusing me on making placements.
That's lame.
Uh-huh. But I want to hear this girl's real example. What did she do, like, wrong? Like, what kind of person were we talking about? Was it an IT person or an inside salesperson? And what did she focus on? Say, oh, you've got this and this and this, and just have a total blank out on, but do you have this and this and this? I mean, what was going wrong there? The more concrete it is, the easier it is for me to understand. I'm not as smart as Jerry, who lives in a world of theory. I understand real-life examples, okay? What was that girl missing, okay?
Hold it. I'm not going to let you get away with that stuff. I live in the real world, Animal.
Okay.
I might have to deal with theory or whatever you just said. You used some pretty big words there.
Yeah.
But I'm getting it done daily.
Okay, so let me ask you.
And I'm not a shut-in.
Okay, do you remember some stuff that she was focusing on and the specific stuff she was missing? Do you remember what job it was and specifically the details?
I don't remember what job it was, no, but you know, we did accounting and finance.
Do you remember anything in your career? Do you remember any other example of that in your career where someone was a little too enthusiastic and they didn't do the proper due diligence?
Not off the top of my head.
You've got animal amnesia. You've got animal amnesia. I'm going to move on, but it's a common disease, okay? Your leadership style. I especially appreciated Jeff's hands-off approach management style. His door was always open for me to seek his assistance, yet he knew when to provide guidance. He's a fair manager and thanked the team often. So once a recruiting manager has, you know, taught someone the skills, what do? Just leave them on their own?
Well, once you teach them the skills, you trust them to do the job, and then you hold them accountable. You know, if they're not meeting the expectations that you set, you know, I would bring them in, and I would sit down and say, okay, you know, we agreed that we're going to, you know, try to interview this many people a week. We're not doing it. What are the challenges? So, you know, I don't want to be the guy that you know, sits there and counts all the calls. But I do want to be the person that, you know, makes sure that everybody knows what the expectations are and trust them to go do it.
How do you fire people?
Directly.
You
know,
say, you seem like a nice person, but you aren't making the numbers.
No, you know, firing is never a one-time conversation. Firing is a conversation that is over the course of a few. You know, it starts with, you know, we're not seeing the results that we need to see. This is what we need to do. Next conversation, hey, you know, we talked about how you need to increase the number of interviews that you have so that you can get the number of send-outs required to do it. You're not doing it. What's getting in the way? You know, in the third conversation, you know, we're still not getting these done. You aren't meeting the expectations. You know, we got to do this, this, and this. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to have to let you go. And then, you know, from there, it's not working out. You know, it's not working out on my end. So, best thing to do is to part ways and then move on.
Okay. Now you've got a big deal. You make a big deal in one of your blog postings that when recruiter talks to a candidate, they have to set the direction of what's going to happen next to make the candidate feel that they know what's coming up, they're in charge. And this is really important. You call it controlling the last mental image in every step of the recruiting process. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah, and you want to talk about that? No one's ever talked about that here.
I'm good. You know, here's what I train people. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Just don't stop. Don't stop. Just keep going. This is a rowdy show, okay? You got
to
be.
This is what when
you,
I
okay?
train people to control the last conversation. If it's the first time you're interviewing somebody, you know, you have to let them know, hey, you know, I'm going to be, you know, looking for the right opportunity for you, or you know, this is an opportunity that I'm going to help you with. So what I need from you is to, you know, be honest with me. Make sure that whatever we have a conversation with, it's honest. If there's anything that you need to correct from our conversation, please do so. I can only help you if I have that honest information. And then, you know, let people know. Don't make me chase you down. If I call, it's not to talk about the weather. It's not to talk about my favorite sports team. It's because I've got something that's time-sensitive. Call me back. And then
okay,
the other
but
thing
you
have
say
to
you
do
have
is,
to set this mental image. You've got to set this mental image on every conversation. So that's the initial conversation. You set the, you know, the rules. This is what I need. Don't ignore me if I need to speak to you. But what about the next time you talk to them, you know? What if they touch base with you on, you know, they have a question for you. They just call up and say, Jeff, I'm not clear about this requirement for the job. Is this, you know, creating a mental image of you being in control, is that important at the end of every single conversation?
I don't think every, but I think it should be to the point of making sure that the person that you're working with knows that what the next step is. Hey, I really appreciate your call, Animal, with question on that. Here's the answer. This is what the next step of the process is, and you know, this is what I'm looking for you in that step. So that they
okay,
go
so
away
just review that.
The
okay. There's only 5 minutes left. Does anybody have a question? And there's a lot of people here. I know they're going to have lots of questions and statements when the after show starts. But you and I have to hang up in 4 minutes. And trust me, they're going to talk like crazy. Does anyone want to ask Jeff a question when he's actually still on the line here? Are you afraid to confront him with some gripe you have against what he's been saying? Yeah, they're afraid. Jeff, what's the final
no?
thing? What's the Pardon me?
No,
Rayanne, you're not afraid? Okay.
No, I'm not afraid.
I think you are, Rayanne. I think you are. Okay, you just don't.
Okay,
here's the thing. I'm going to, Jeff, what hot thing do you want, what message do you want to leave for recruiters? Is there something that you think people really are goofing up on or don't know about that you want to drive home?
Yeah, I think the main thing that, you know, our industry is in danger of people that, you know, are too passive. So, you know, I talk all the time to people, and it's my big hot button is don't be afraid to pick up the phone and talk to somebody and you know, have that conversation. You know, we're it's a people business, so talk. Get to know them. Ask them who they know. But pick up the phone.
Uh-huh. Don't be afraid to fight with somebody. Sounds like more like a real sales attitude, though, because you're a Steve Finkel fan. He's all about – you know, karate and raising puppies and fighting. I mean, doing rebuttals, grappling with these people. When they say no, that's not a no. No is not no in the minds of a real salesman. Jeff, you volunteered to come on here. I've enjoyed having you. Look, you drew a fantastic crowd, a lot of celebrities. I got to tell you, a lot of recruiting animal celebrities came
here
to listen to you. Yep. Okay. So I want to tell you, you can call in anytime and be a panel member if you'd like to be the guest again. I got a lot more questions. Okay, Jeff?
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks, Al.
Thank you. Oh, can't be there.
Rayanne.
Yes.
I missed the announcement that you would be on the show today, but obviously Mike Astringer saw it.
No, I told you. What do you mean? Oh, maybe I didn't tell you. Oh, okay.
Ooh,
sorry.
It was good to hear Rayanne.
And I have to hop off because I have to get on a conference call right now.
Tell us what you thought
scores.
About the. Yeah, give us two scores, please. That's all we need.
Okay. Okay. For guest and animal?
Yeah.
Or content. What are we doing? Okay, animal.
Whatever you want.
Animal, I'm going to give him a 90. He seems pretty controlled.
Yeah,
the guest, I'm going to give him a 90 as well because he hung in there. And although I did, you know, he's not going to get higher than a 90 because I did notice what animal said, the higher voice thing. That happened.
Ooh. Okay. Well, thank you.
Whenever I hear your voice, Leanne, I think of two pistols.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I'll talk to you
guys
later.
We'll have a reunion party one of these days.
That would be fun. That would be fun. Let's do it. Bye,
all
guys.
Right. See you, Rayanne. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Mike, what do you think about this guy?
Not very much. You want me to be honest?
Yes, please.
You know, I've said so many times over the years on this show that I feel like, and Rebecca's going to take offense to this. Rebecca, don't take offense to this. I feel like those who cannot do train, and just sounds like a guy to me who, you know, couldn't answer the questions he was asked, couldn't give specific examples, does not sound very knowledgeable about recruiting. So is this somebody who was on a failed desk and decided he was going to be a trainer? Maybe.
Okay.
I have to tell you, listening to him, I'm getting the sense that we as trainers / coaches are spending way too much time to get on the phone. It's such a catchphrase that I feel like junior trainers are picking it up, but they don't understand what we're talking about.
Well, everybody laughed at the example I gave, but it was true. It was one of my first jobs in the business. They counted your calls every day. And, you know, if I wasn't on the board with enough calls, and by the way, we had no internet. I had no computer on my desk.
Yep.
All I had was a legal pad and a phone. And if I wasn't knocking it out of the park in any particular day, I might call somebody's voicemail, or back then it was answering machines, 5, 6, 10 times in a day just so I wasn't at the bottom of that list. And that's the wrong focus, but yet that's how we were taught.
Crazy. Crazy. So you're giving him a low score then, eh, Stringer?
I'm going to say he gets 50 for showing up.
Mm-hmm. Nothing more than that, though. He gets the minimum score.
Anybody can get 50 for showing up and not pissing me off. So he didn't piss me off, he gets a 50.
All right, Beth. Do you think Animal did a good job? Or let me ask, are you tired of him just trying to back people into the corner from the start of the show to where it takes half an hour for them to be comfortable to come back out of their shell?
Well,
let me tell you something. This show had the potential to be great because, you know, he started this out with, this guy trains people, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember he said it, this guy trains people to pick up the phone. And you know, Jerry, that I've said for years, that's the problem with young recruiters these days is they don't know how to pick up the phone. They weren't taught to. They go on Monster, they pull down some resumes and shoot them an email. So I thought that this show had the potential to be great. I don't know if it's Animal's fault or the guest's fault. It didn't get there. But it was 20 minutes in before the potential to be great was even there.
Yeah. Don't you get tired of the, and like Rebecca said, aren't you tired of hearing, get on the phone?
Yes.
I think that's overplayed.
Every single
people.
Day. Yeah.
I think that was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
It's still a major part of the day, but, you know, it's not I'm banging out 112 calls
a
day.
Yeah, it's not.
And you know what? Today is mostly a follow-up day for me. I had one call on my calendar. Besides this call, I may not make another call all day long.
So stay off the phone is your new thing then.
No, I'm just saying. Some days that's what it is. I had one new candidate I was scheduled to phone interview today, and the rest of my day is going to be a little follow-up. Can you go in and interview this day? You know, whatever. I got nothing new going on today, and that's okay. Some days are like that.
It's just such a mix now of how you communicate with people. And, you know, for me, it's really, are you making presentations all day? Because that's
right.
The real goal is someone right now considering your opportunity. If so, then you're doing your job. Hopefully multiple people. If right now there is no one thinking about either sending you an email or calling you saying, hey, that does sound good, or, yeah, Tuesday works for me. So the key is anybody thinking about your product? Are you making presentations all day? Because
that's
sometimes presentations are just,
I mean, you're going to send somebody a Gmail text.
Jerry,
or you might send an email.
That's a great point, Jerry, but there's a limit, too, because you know what? There are a couple of third-party recruiters that I've worked with at clients who always send me Facebook messages, and that drives me insane because you know what? Facebook is my personal stuff, you know what I mean? Don't send me a message on Facebook at 7 o'clock at night saying, hey, did you look at my candidate?
Jerry.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying.
I'm sorry about that, man, and I will not do it again.
Jerry.
All right, who's saying something? Was that you, Casey?
Jerry, it's Blake.
No.
Oh, wait, Blake Cannon. Everybody
hey,
get Blake. Out of the way. Blake's in town.
Hey, Blake.
Hey, Mike. Hey, whoever else that was. Hey, Jerry, real quick, I got to go, man. Speaking of looking at your product, we need to close your big machine's guy today, so give me a call.
Sweet.
Later.
Later. What blessed news.
Oh, what blessed news indeed. I don't know. For me, the guy just sounded like standard agency manager. Every manager I had in the agency with the flip book in hand. So he gets like a 65 or 70. I think Animal did good, though. But he does paint people into corners. That's why I stopped listening so much.
It gets tough.
Nobody ever told him, stop putting baby in a corner.
Yeah, so I'm going to give him an 85.
I would like to see any one of these trainers or coaches. I want to see them take a full Monday through Friday, and I want to see how they're going to get on the phone all day, every day.
So Jerry, we're doing that through Curta. I'm going to jump in there right there. Between
right.
now and the Headhunter Summit, I'm building a desk from scratch and using all my own training material and blogging on it. I'm actually, my blog is sitting in my editor's inbox right now, and we're actually running a contest on it. And we're going to see what we can build between now and October and build a desk in IT sales.
Once you build it, can I have it?
I was going to say, make it an HR and recruiting desk and send those recs my way.
What I find interesting is so much effort, and it seems like the entire Animal Show series for the past decade or however long it's been on, anytime there are recruiter people on there, because sometimes they'll have social media or various whoever, nobody's talking about client development. And you can be the best phone dialing candidate sourcing guru, but if nobody wants to see who you just dug up with your expertise on the telephone all day long, none of this matters. Unless you're sending somebody an invoice for this, none of it matters. It's all about client development. 90% of this is client development. Who is going to pay for your time?
That is
even
the best point you ever made, Jerry. And you know what? I have always said, if I was as good of a salesperson as I am a recruiter, I'd be a millionaire.
It's all about customer development. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why I'm saying
You should try selling to agencies. I have to jump in here.
Selling to agencies? Sell what to agencies?
Well, you know, we sell training to agencies every day.
Yeah?
Half of starting the desk is, God, it's so much easier just to go and get a client than it is to sell training to agencies. Sorry.
Yeah?
I can only imagine that's a losing battle.
Well, what do agencies want to be? Here's your typical agency. It's a guy like me I've got customers, people I've recruited with for years, customers that I, you know, they count on me to recruit for them. I just need more people providing the candidates. Period. And I think that's most agencies' dilemma is
The dilemma is this. It's not so much you need more bodies to bring you people. Do you train them to bring you good people, or do you just bring them in to pound the phone and bring you more people?
Probably to get people hired. That's what I would hire them for.
Well, now are you going to train them?
They don't have to be good or bad.
Are you going to train them, or are you going to throw them into the fire? Because most agencies, their instant reaction is, well, I'm going to bring somebody on, and I'm going to see if they work out. If they work out, I'll train them. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
see, those,
if you don't train them.
That person shouldn't be even hiring anybody.
That's 90%.
That's how every agency is worldwide. I mean,
it's like buying a puppy and putting them on a chain to a doghouse in your backyard.
And then getting mad when you bring
them
in and they pee on the floor.
Yeah, and then they get a splash.
Sorry.
By the way, I did pee on the floor in my first recruiting job. I'm just
kidding. Oh, yeah. You have to.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else
actually,
on the call?
Know, I
got to
say, after my first recruiting job, I think this would be an interesting conversation someday. After my first recruiting job, I actually left the business for a short period of time. I wanted to do anything but be a recruiter.
Man, from my first day, I have just loved this. I just think it's the most fantastic thing in the world. It's like every day is your own personal
lying.
Movie. It's awesome. And you're the star.
Oh, yeah.
Being Jerry, these bad managers, you know, count your phone calls, all that BS we had to deal with. After
hey,
the
you
first
still
year
gotta
of doing
deal with
this,
it.
I couldn't wait to get out.
I don't see how any agency could still be counting phone calls because phone calls is these.
We had to
it's not even half
this.
Of what
started,
we do now. It's, I don't know.
I started
talking about it over 20 years ago.
2009.
What?
2009. I had. Yeah.
2000.
Yeah, that was my first recruiting job. And we had to make 300 calls a week with 12 hours of phone time. Otherwise, if we didn't do that for 2 weeks in a row, we got fired.
I had a client who hired a brand new recruiter. We trained him, and we got an email that he wasn't making enough phone calls. He put 160 brand new leads into the guy's database, but wasn't making enough phone calls.
Yep, that's how they do you. It's
like,
garbage.
What?
Yep.
When I started, 1987. That's all you could do was make phone calls, and mm-hmm. and there was no reason to not make phone calls, and there was no shield. There wasn't a big voicemail blocker. I mean, the only way for your phone call to go away, ringing on somebody's desk, was they had to answer it. That was it. It didn't go to voicemail because there wasn't voicemail. It was, hey man, get that phone because it's ringing. See. To carry that mentality to today's world of technology is just laughable. It's just unbelievable. It's about making presentations. And whatever you need to do to, at the end of the day, and that is not an after-show bad word, at the end of the day, do you have the guy for your candidate? Do you have your send-out ready to go for in the morning? And that's it. I mean, it's just. I mean, if you don't have that, then you're not doing your job, and you don't get to go home. Period.
On a related topic, how much did it suck for me, being a single recruiter, who had to make 100 calls a day, and then you get off work, you get in the car, and your girlfriend wants to chat for half the night. It's like, God damn it! I've been on the phone for 12 hours today. Leave me alone.
You're a single recruiter or a single parent recruiter?
Well, I was a single parent recruiter, but I'm saying, dating, and you know, you got some chick on the phone and wants to talk on the phone for 4 hours when you get off work.
Yeah, that was cool. See, we would go out and knock out 3 or 4 beers and then go back to the office around 6 o'clock and start catching people after dinner. Yeah.
We would do beers in the office and then catch them.
Yeah, I had a bottle of Jack in the drawer.
See, agencies aren't doing that now.
Am I saying too much? Oh, goodness. All right. Well, anything else, anybody? One of my secret customers let me know that I need to give them a call and wrap up a placement.
Nope. Good show, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, I won back time. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand my crown. Oh,